Okay, we're getting started with our next topic, which is leaving non-IRA retirement benefits to special needs trust. I think this is Steve Dale's second turn up here at the table and Peter's third, so I'm going to, you know who they are, please welcome them.
Okay. By the way, do we have the PowerPoint? Okay. Oh, we have the PowerPoint. Okay. Just to let you know, that is mostly what we're going to present on. Part of this is, I think Tressie was going to do this, and for some reason she wasn't able to, and I was asked if I would fill in, so I said I would, and not wanting to just share this wonderful experience by myself, I invited Peter to help us. This isn't going to be exactly as billed. Part of this is we're going to start talking about designation of qualified plans, and then we'll talk about assigning other stuff.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Let's dive in.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so first of all, we're going to talk just briefly, because I know everyone's heard about the SECURE Act. Everyone's had a lot of education about the SECURE Act, the setting every community up for retirement enhancement. Here's basically what you need to know if you don't know already, is that it's flipped planning on its head. So in the past, it was wise, right, to potentially assign a 401k and IRA to, or designate that beneficiary as your child, for example, without a disability. Now, thanks to the provisions in the SECURE Act, one of the few people who can stretch IRA required minimum distributions is now a person with a disability. So now it makes a lot of sense to revisit estate planning and take a peek at that. Let's talk about the different types of beneficiary types. And what we're going to basically do here is just go over, hey, what are some problems that your clients may have and some potential solutions, which Steve and I have been working diligently on, through outdated plans and things like that. People pass away and not having the proper nomenclature or the named beneficiary. So the very first type of beneficiary is if someone names an estate, a charity, a non-qualified trust, and you can see the definition there. I don't need to read it to you. And that's when you have to take it out over the next 5 years. So this is what we're trying to avoid, right? It's either 5 years or my favorite IRS term in the world, which is the ghost expectancy rule, or at least as rapidly. So the beneficiary original owner was over 72, then it just continues to follow the required minimum distribution table for that particular owner. So let's imagine family member meets with the trustee, establishes an inter vivos or testamentary trust, but they accidentally put checked estate on their, custodians. Let's just use, Charles Schwab's, IRA beneficiary designation form. And that's not what the estate plan says, right? And all the money that you've poured into it and things like that. Well, unfortunately, these IRA beneficiary designation forms generally supersede a will, supersede a trust. So you have to encourage your settlors, your grantors, to make those amendments as necessary. Potential solutions here, you're kind of stuck. You can petition the court. The IRS, just note, the IRS can always come back and say, this XYZ court has no jurisdiction over us. We're not going to listen to that. Or you can get a private letter ruling. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. Those are really expensive and are pretty fact pattern specific.
I think part of the theme here is that you can do great planning and all of that, but if the beneficiary designations or if the transfers of assets, if you're doing a will-based program, aren't done properly, then all you have is a nice piece of paper and you've got a royal mess on your hands.
Yeah, that's right. So the next type of beneficiary designation is what we call a DB, or designated beneficiary. So this is going to be anyone besides the spouse, the person with a disability, things like that. Those people that can withdraw from the IRA over their lifetime, over the required minimum distributions over their life expectancy. And so there's a couple of different rules about when the original owner passes away. But what if the family member didn't name the special needs trust for the beneficiary and just name the beneficiary outright, right? Happens all the time. I'm sure everyone in this room has seen this happen. Here are some things that you can do. Petition the court, right? You can take a look at that PLR, that private letter ruling that I have mentioned there, or you can try to assign it to a first party sub account. But the whole idea was to get it, to get mom or dad's IRA to the child with a disability and get it into a third party trust. But they didn't follow through, right? And didn't name that third party trust as the designated beneficiary on the IRA. So now we have first party money, okay? Because the beneficiary had, you know, the ability to, you know, withdraw them or receive it personally. It's in their name, right? So just follow the titling. Some states won't even allow the assignment of the first party, IRA to, won't allow the assignment of the IRA to a first party special needs trust because it's still, quote unquote, a resource.